Amen.
Amen and amen. Children, if you would, follow Miss Leanne back to the children's wing. And let me just say that it's nice every now and then to be able just to stand down front and worship. And I'm so thankful for Barrett and Debbie and Hetty and John and Wyatt and the praise team, all our singers. They are a true blessing to me, and I know they're a blessing to you. And it's just a special time when I can just watch them worship. And I pray that that's what we're doing when you come in here and we begin to worship. You know, I'm a worship pastor. I'm a worship leader at heart. That's what God's called me to do. So it's hard for me not to talk about worship when I get up here. But I also, and always, as your worship pastor, pray and hope that you understand the importance of worship and why we do what we do when we come in here. We're not just singing songs. We're praising our King and we're praising our Savior. And it's our way of thanking Him for what all He does for us each and every day. Now, as we start this morning, as you can tell, I'm not used to this thing, so y'all just bear with me. This morning, we're going to talk about something that that we need to talk about, and it's the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. Now, in my world, in the business world, Benny Keith, my other job, I'm constantly being evaluated and examined. And our year runs from July 1st to June 30th every year, and that's how our year runs. And so each June, I know that it's coming. I'm going to have to sit down with my boss in July, and we're going to look at what I accomplished in my job the previous year, or the things that I did not accomplish the previous year. And then we'll also then look at the goals that I've had to set for this next year. And we'll kind of see how I did. You know, sometimes those meetings I can look forward to because I've had a good year. And other times, not so much fun when I hadn't had that great a year. And I know that I'm going to have to answer some questions, well, you know, why this didn't happen or why that didn't happen. There's a lot of pressure in the job. The job that I have is pressure-filled, and I can kind of explain that in this way. I'm 100% commissioned, and so if I don't sell, me and Terry don't eat. And, you know, we can laugh about it, and I laugh about that, but it's true. And can be very stressful at times. And so, like I said, I have to constantly be evaluating myself. Last week, as you know, we took the Lord's Supper. And I thought Brother Peter did a wonderful job explaining the Lord's Supper and what it meant. And at that time, he asked us to do a self-evaluation. Let's make sure that there's no sin in our life that we hadn't confessed first. Let's examine our life and make sure that we don't have any unforgiveness in our heart, anything that would cause us not to be able to take the Lord's Supper correctly. And, you know, I guess maybe because over the years and being Baptist as long as I have, and look, I was Catholic before I was Baptist, so we took communion every Sunday in the Catholic Church, and there's nothing wrong with that either. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I believe at sometimes we do things and we do them so much that they kind of lose the luster. We don't maybe really remember and reflect and understand just what it means. And so as last week, Brother Peter was talking, and I was sitting down there and kind of doing a self-evaluation, you see, I already knew what I was going to preach on or what I felt the Lord was leading me to preach on. But in that moment, as I began to think about my life not only the things that I knew I needed to confess or the sins I needed to confess, but the things started coming into focus on where I was with my walk with the Lord. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about a little bit today. I want us to focus and examine where we are in our walk with the Lord. Where we are. This morning we're going to look at the cost of discipleship. And let me say this. Jesus is the one who put the requirements, or the terms and conditions, I guess you'd say, on the requirement for being his disciple. So, now, before I start, I want to be very clear on this. I don't want anyone to leave here confused. Salvation is a free gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For grace you have been saved through faith, that is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." You cannot earn your salvation. Salvation is a free gift. However, there is a cost in discipleship. That's what we're going to look at today. You know, I listen to a lot of sermons and podcasts, and I really enjoy great preaching. I mean, that's why I'm here at New Hebron Baptist Church, to hear great preaching, right? And we do, and we're blessed. But I love hearing great preaching, and I love reading. I love reading quotes, many from preachers that have gone or died before, or old ones like Spurgeon or Billy Graham or John Piper today, and then folks and authors like C.S. Lewis. But Dr. Charles Stanley, and I know many of y'all know Dr. Charles Stanley, he's been around forever, and goodness gracious, I didn't look. He may be dead. I don't know. I hadn't listened to him in a while, I guess. But one quote that he had was this. He said, "All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples." Let me say that again. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. So this morning, if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And I hope you have your Bible with you. If not, there's one in the pew in front of you. I want you to, you know, I believe it's important, especially when we're here, that we open up the Word and we read it together and we study it together. Luke 9, 23 says this, "And he said to all, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." You know, great crowds came to see Jesus. They came to see what he was all about after his ministry started and it started growing. People wanted to see. They came for various reasons. Some came to see the miracles he was doing, the healings he was performing. Some just came to see a show. I'm sure some came to hear the teachings and wanted to learn from him and see what he was talking about. I know some, I'm sure, came, as is evident in the Gospels, some came to confront him. Some that didn't agree with what he was saying. And there were those that confront him. Regardless, he drew great, great crowds. And as his ministry grew, larger multitudes came to see him. I mean, you think about it. We read all the time. He fed all the people with just a few fish and loaves of bread. You know, what a miracle. Can you imagine being there and seeing that take place? And the first miracle, he turned the water into wine. All these things that he did just amazed people. And so as his popularity grew, the crowds grew that came to see him. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me," let me say this, he wasn't just talking about the apostles or the 12 that he had chosen, that he was talking to the whole crowd. He was talking to everybody. It was an open invitation. But in Luke 14:25, it says, he turned and said to the great multitude, "If anyone comes to me," if anyone comes to me, that's an open invitation, anybody. But then what did he say next? "Let him deny himself." So what is Jesus asking us to do? So when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what do? We confess our sin. We ask Jesus to come into our heart. We ask Him to be the Lord of our life, right? We surrender totally to His Lordship, or we're supposed to. But that's hard to do. Look at salvation. Paul says it that way in 2 Corinthians. What does he say? He talks about a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are new. We are born again. It all comes down to surrender. And that's what we're not really good at sometimes. I know that I'm not. You know, we even sing it. We're going to sing that song, Invitation. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. In looking back in my life, and looking back even in 2019, as I was examining my walk with Him, I noticed that I was still holding on to a whole lot of things. I hadn't truly surrendered. I hadn't truly given all. To be a good disciple, we must be able to do that. You know, many churches today are great and have a great emphasis on evangelism. And they're really good about bringing people to the Lord. But then I think we lose it many times on our discipleship. It needs to be followed up. We need to be teaching people what Jesus said about a disciple and what it takes to be His disciple. And not just start. Salvation is just the beginning. As exciting as it is, it's just the beginning. We need to surrender our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means we give up our rights. Well, that's something today in society. You know, it's always about our rights and what our rights are. And don't tread on our rights and don't take our rights away. You know, when you surrender to Jesus, you forfeit your rights. You become His. That's a hard pill to swallow. You know, in today's society, you know, I remember Nike came out with that term, just do it. Now, younger people, I hear them say, you know what, you just do you. You do you, and it's okay. You want to be transgender? That's okay, you just do you. You want to be a male and identify as a female? Well, that's okay, you just do you. You want to be a female and you want to identify as a man? You know, you do you. That's not okay. I'm not going to stand here and apologize for saying that. It's not okay. Because when you say, and because when we say you do you, you're not denying self. Denying self is dying to self-will. You doing you is not denying self. It still leaves you in control. We're going to look at that. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke 14, 25 and 26. Luke 14, verses 25 and 26. I studied this quite a bit the last few weeks. I had to read a lot. I had to ask questions. Some of the scriptures that I'm sharing this morning are difficult and may seem harsh. And I want you to know that Jesus is the one that said this. Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple." Wait, what? If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Now, this is Jesus saying this. Hate, the word as it's translated here, basically it means love less. Love less. You know, why it would seem like a contradiction if you read this and you say, well, Jesus is telling me to hate everybody, but on the, you know, earlier He said that I'm supposed to love everybody and love my neighbor. love less. Love less. It says you can't be my disciple if you love your family more. Now, grandparents. I always go to the grandparents now that I'm a grandparent. Man, I think about my grandbabies and how much I love my grandbabies. Your grandbabies and your family can't be above Jesus. Or you can't be his disciple. You've got to love him more. There can be nothing in front of Jesus and our love for him. Not our family, not our spouse, not our kids, not our hobbies, not our jobs. I can tell you, I could let the job go. Money, possessions, nothing. In order to be his true disciple. Now, Jesus isn't saying that you're going to have to give all that stuff up. You've got to be willing to give that up. Jesus has to be first in your life. I'm going to give you a few examples of that. Oh, the Lord is. Matthew 10:37 says this, whoever loves father or mother than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See, over and over again in the Gospels, he's driving this home. You beginning to see the picture here? You know, as I was studying this, I begin to start seeing how selfish I can be and how self-centered. And that's the good thing about evaluating yourself and examining yourself. You know, I want to be, and we should want to be, all that we can be for Christ. Am I selfish with my time? Am I selfish in the way I act? Look, I must and we must deny ourselves and make sure that we put Christ first in our life every day and make sure that he's controlling us. Lift up your cross. Take up your cross daily. Now look, I know we all have busy lives. We're all busy, right? You know, many of our days start out early in the morning. Some of us work nights, and that's even worse. I did it for many years and hated it. You never feel right. But we must make time daily at some point to pray and to read God's Word. That is a must in discipleship. But you know, we're all busy, and I said that. One thing, though, that I think Brother Peter and Wyatt shared this. There's an app on these lovely things called phones and the technology we have. And it's an app called Dwell. Now, it basically will just read Bible scriptures to you. You want to know about the covenant? You can hit that. They got a bunch of different things. It's really a neat app. Now, I think, I don't know, it's $20 a month, a year. I'm sorry. I think $20 a year for it. And then they got these different voices that'll play it. And I know this one kind of drives Terry crazy, but I got an English woman in there reading mine. I can't remember her name, Sarah or what is it? Rosie or something on it. And it just drives her crazy. You know, we say we don't have time. I do a lot of driving. But everybody has one of these now. Now you can get an app, and some of them are free. You can get a bunch of free. But where, you know, you just type it in. Just type it in and start playing it in the Word of God. You'll hear it. Oh, yeah, she drives Terry crazy, that voice. But, I mean, there's men on there, and there's, I don't know, they got all kind of different accents. What I'm saying here is I know we're busy, but we have to find time in our busy lives to read and to pray and study God's Word. One way to do that now. Just use your phone, plug it in. I'm going to say something here. This is going to really get me in trouble. But I've said it before, and I'm still alive. And I want you. We're talking about self-evaluation here, right? We're talking about looking at our lives and our discipleship. We're looking about where we are. I'm talking me and you. That's what I want you thinking about here this morning. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? Where are you in your discipleship? And here we go. I'm going to say it and I'm going to move on. If your Facebook time at the end of the week exceeds your prayer and Bible study time, then that's something we need to look at. I'm talking to myself here because I'm guilty. I'm guilty. How can I sit here and say to you and stand here in front of you this morning and say that? Because many times mine doesn't. And it's got to change. If I'm going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, if I call myself a true disciple, I'm going to do the things that he's calling me to do. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny myself those things that I don't need to do. And if my time that I spend on my phone, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm not. But when that becomes more important in our lives than reading his word or praying or spending time with him, then we need to evaluate where we are in our walk. Technology is great. There's many apps. I listen to a lot of preachers on there. Not a bad thing. Take up your cross daily. Deny self. Take up cross. In Jesus' day, everybody knew what the cross represented. It was a horrible thing, right? It was bad. You know, I imagine as he's talking to these multitudes at the different times that he was talking to them, that there were people there who had family members or friends or somebody who had experienced the devastation of seeing one of their loved ones crucified and killed. And yet Jesus said, hey, take up your cross daily. Here's the interesting thing. Jesus bore a cross that he didn't have to. I mean, he did, but he didn't, because it wasn't his to bear. It became his to bear because of our sin. Jesus bore our cross. Jesus took upon himself our sin. So Jesus, and that hadn't even happened yet, and Jesus is telling these, but look, take up your cross. Take up this heavy burden. Take this up daily. And follow me in obedience. Jesus knew as he's telling them that this cost that he's talking about, this cross that they're going to have to bear, is going to be heavy. To some of those that he was talking to, they literally were going to have to take up their own cross physically and die. And he knew that. Taking up your cross may cause suffering and persecution. It might. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? We must take our cross up, be obedient to follow him no matter what. Count the cost of following Jesus. Count the cost of what it's going to take to bear that cross. Luke, turn with me to Luke 14, 27 through 33. Luke 14, 27, 33. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, why? While the other guy's yet way off, he doesn't send a delegation and ask terms of peace. What Jesus is asking them is, look, there's a cost to discipleship. Are you willing to pay it? Have you counted the cost? Many of those that he was talking to in the crowd, like I said just a minute ago, is that you know, I think of the apostles. He knew what was going to happen to them. He knew what was in store for them later. Have they counted the cost? Then he finishes with it. So therefore, if any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is Jesus. He's telling them, look, make sure you understand what you're going to have to do and what's going to be asked of you. Are we willing to obey him no matter the cost? I'm going to give you a couple examples. First example, back in Genesis. You don't have to turn there. Y'all are familiar with the story. It's about Abraham and Sarah. God promised them a son. That didn't happen right away. I mean, Abraham was, 100? She was 90. Some of you ladies, how would you like to have a baby at 90? Having a baby out here isn't much fun anyway. Much less being 90 years old. Now, I know how I feel at 56. I'm sure Terry doesn't want to have a baby at 56. But yet they longed for this. They wanted this. God promised it to them. A lot of stuff happened in between. But finally, God opened her womb. She bore Abraham a son. And they named him Isaac. Now, those of you who are parents, I want you right now to stop and think back when you had that first child and how excited you were and how elated you were. And I took too much pain medication and passed out, but that's a whole nother story. That was bad, y'all. They were more concerned with me passed out than they were Terry having a baby. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. The excitement. And to see that baby and to hold that baby in your arms for the very first time. Can you imagine 100-year-old seeing the promise fulfilled from Almighty God and Abraham's getting to hold his son? And then what happens? God tells Abraham, you need to sacrifice your son. What did Abraham do? He's counting the cost, right? The cost of following God now has become sacrificing his son. But he did everything God asked him to do. And we know how the story ends. God provided the lamb, said, no, no, no. He passed the test. Abraham counted the cost and figured it was more important for him to follow God and do what he told me to do. He's more important than his family. He put him over his family. And he was rewarded greatly. But I'm going to give you another example. This is in the New Testament. It comes from Mark 17:22. Remember the story about the rich young ruler, this young man? Matter of fact. Mark 10:17. Now as he was going out on the road and as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good, but that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and he said to him, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. See, this rich young man, he's checked all the boxes off. He hadn't done none of that. He hadn't killed anybody. Self-righteously, he answered. And Jesus looked at him and loved him, it says. One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. and come, take up the cross, and follow me. So Jesus is telling them the cost of discipleship. But he was sad at his word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What was going to be required of him to be a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ was giving up his possessions. And for him, the cost was too much, and he didn't do it. I'm not saying that God's going to ask you to give up all your worthy possessions. I'm not asking you that at all. But I'm wondering if the cost of discipleship many times causes people to be afraid of what Jesus might ask them to do. You know, Lord, I really don't want to openly commit to you because, well, I mean, I like living here. I'm happy here. I don't really want to commit to you. I mean, what if you call me to Zimbabwe or something? What if, Lord, I don't know that I really want to commit and follow you. I really don't know if I want to be a real disciple of yours because I'm afraid you're going to ask me to do something that I really don't want to do. There's a cost for each one of us in discipleship. We need to know that and we need to understand that. The reason I'm reading some of these is so that we'll understand that we've got to put Jesus first in our life. We have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross in order to follow him. Matthew 8:21-22. This Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to come after you. But Lord, let me go bury my father first. That sounds like a legit excuse, right? What did Jesus say? Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. Some of these are difficult. Same thing, though. Following me must be first. The cost of following me, I have to be first in your life, above family, possessions, all else. We cannot put anything or anybody above God and truly be his disciple. And then he talks about following me. Follow him. You must be obedient. We must be committed. We must be dedicated to him daily. 24/7. Hard to do. Easy to talk about. You know, it takes discipline to be a disciple. You know, the word discipline means learner. You know, back in Jesus' day when folks were following, you know, they were following a teacher. They were following him to learn, to study with him. And, you know, outside of Jesus's, you know, sacrifice, I don't know that there was a better example than the Apostle Paul on being a disciple. Once Paul was converted on that Damascus road, I just don't believe there's a better example of one denying himself, taking up his cross and following Jesus. You know, Paul ate, slept, and drank Jesus, it seemed. Paul was sold out. You know, years ago, I don't remember, I mean, my kids were younger, or teenager, or whatever. I mean, it was a big deal. You know, hey, I'm sold out for Jesus. Just sold out for Jesus. And we should be. Our example would be Paul. Our example would be Paul. Let me tell you how sold out Paul was. 2 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter. I am more in labors, more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequently, and deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I've received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep, and journeys often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst and fasting often, and cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul went through so much. I mean, that's just some of the stuff that was recorded that he went through. Paul knew and understood the cost of discipleship. And yet, he did it. He did it. So 3 things. As we kind of look at our life and where we are with Christ. Personally, I want to have a closer walk with Jesus. I want to have this desire in my heart that I would be the best disciple that I can be, which is Christ in me and living in me and working through me. I, in and of myself, cannot do any good thing, and neither can you. It is Christ living in us and working through us that is the difference. He is the only way. But we do have to do something. We do have to do something. First, is Jesus first in your life? No matter what. Is he first in your life? Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Is Jesus first above your family and above your job and above your possessions? Secondly, taking up your cross. Are you committed to Jesus no matter what that cost is? Are you really surrendered to Jesus enough, the fact that you would say, Lord, whatever it is you ask me to do or call me to do, Lord, no matter what it is, I'm going to step out and I'm going to do it. Because I know that it's you who strengthens me, you who's going to provide for me, you who's going to take care of me. You can't breathe your next breath without God allowing it. Are you committed? Will you take up your cross? Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And the third thing, are you willing to follow him? And I'm getting ready to close. Mark 1:16-20. Passing along the seas of Galilee, he saw Simon and brother, and the brother of Simon casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servants and followed him. Immediately they followed him. See, they recognized that there was something special about Jesus. They literally dropped everything to follow him. You know, sometimes when we have our Bibles and we're reading the words that are written in red, they go from one end to the other. I mean, there's great love. It's always in love. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I don't want you to respond. Do you believe in your heart that the Bible is 100% the Word of God and true? That everything in it recorded happened? Do you believe that Jesus is God and that God never changes? That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Malachi 3:6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Here's the point. There's so many folks out there that believe God is love. And he is. And that God loves them. And he does. But there are those that believe that because God loves them, that he would never send them to spend an eternity in hell. I had a chef one time. We were good friends. I hadn't talked to him in years. Probably for about 4 years, I was his salesman. Good guy. Loved him to death. But we debated. The one thing we debated on. Greg believed with all his heart that God is real. Greg believed with all his heart that God is good. Greg believed with all his heart that God loved him. But Greg could not believe for 1 minute, for 1 second, that God would send him to spend an eternity in hell because God is good and God is love. And he couldn't understand, believe me, I tried, that God is just. He never would admit to knowing Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He just felt that because he was a good person and he went to church every now and then, that he was okay. He's not okay. It breaks my heart. Churches are filled today with folks that think they're okay. It should break your heart too. I've got many friends who are deceived. I got family members who are deceived. I got family members who just don't care. They kind of think what I do is crazy. You know, one time I really wish that Greg could have sat down and talked to Noah. See, Noah saw firsthand God's judgment. You know, it's fun to talk about the ark and the animals. And many times as I'm reading that story, I forget about the judgment. You see, every man, woman, children, child, every animal was destroyed. Now, God never changes, and God is love. But God is also just. I know we talked about being a disciple and the cost of discipleship. But you have to be a believer before you can be a disciple. Now, if you're here this morning and you're just not sure, then we need to talk. You know, I spoke about reflecting on 2019 and goals for 2020 in my earthly job, I guess you'd say. And I talked about self-examination and about my spiritual walk and how I long to have a closer relationship with Jesus. I really do. You know, I want to read more, study more, learn more, but most importantly, I want to share more. I want to share the gospel more. We ought to want to share the gospel more. There ought to be a desire in each one of our hearts to read more, to study more, to draw closer to the Lord, to be that disciple. And my prayer is for New Hebron Baptist Church, for each one of you, for myself, is that we'd have the boldness to share and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us to our lost family and our friends and our neighbors. I pray that we'd be burdened with the lost. Because it's easy to talk to them about the God of love and the God who is love. It's hard to talk to them about the God who is just. But just because we don't want to talk about it or we don't want to see it doesn't mean it's not going to happen every day, one of us. Every day we're going to stand before Christ and give an account. It just ought to break our hearts, knowing there's a world out there and there's so many who are dying and going to hell. And as I reflected back, I just didn't see my life living that last year. And I know, you know, when you preach, Peter will tell you, I'm not the best preacher 101 student. Really, I'm not. Because I really shouldn't be talking about me a whole lot. But that's what I know. And I know that last year, I wasn't the best disciple that I could have been. Because I wasn't willing to count the cost of discipleship and do what I know he was calling me to do. Think about that as you leave today. Think about these three things. Am I denying myself in my selfishness? Am I willing to take up my cross? And do I really want to follow him? Three things. What kind of disciple do you want to be this year? And if you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, if you're not sure, for sure, that you placed your faith and trust in Jesus, if you're not then you need to come down front. You need to talk to Peter. You need to talk to Wyatt or myself. And we need to talk about it. Because the most important decision of your life is what are you going to do about Jesus? What is your decision about Jesus? And if there's any doubt, I mean even a sliver of a doubt, I beg you. I'm begging you. As your worship pastor, as someone who loves you, and you may be thinking, look, I don't even know you really. You don't know me that well. Look, I love you. I want what God wants for you. If you have any doubt, I want you to come down front. I'm begging you. You know, when Barrett comes up and Debbie and they do the invitation and they're playing and as they're singing, you look, I don't even care if you sing. At this point in time, it's not about the singing. I would like each one of us to reflect on our lives and where we are. And I want you also to reflect and see, if you're not sure, I want you to come down front. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Look, eternity is too important to worry about what the person sitting next to you is thinking because you went down front. Look, this altar is always open. I don't know why. The carpet at the altar always seems newer than the carpet coming in the door, but it needs to be more worn. There's nothing wrong with coming down front and doing business with God. And there's nothing to be afraid. We're church family. We love each other. And we really need to be concerned about our walk, our discipleship, and our love for each other. Let me pray with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time. And Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you that, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you laid out clearly the cost of discipleship and what it takes to be your disciple, Father. I pray that each one of us would be counting that cost and be willing, Lord, to change our lives however we must. To be your disciple. Father, just pray for our church family now, Lord, as we think of these things, as we think about how your Spirit has moved today, how you spoke to us. Lord. And Lord, my prayer is that if somebody needs to come down front and give their heart to Jesus, Lord, I pray that they would. Lord, don't let them be hindered in any way from doing that. Lord, and if nobody comes, that's fine too. It's not about that or being seen, Lord. It's about your will being done and you calling folks. Lord, I pray that we at New Hebron Baptist Church, this family, this body of believers, Lord, would take serious the discipleship role that we have, Lord, and that we would deny ourselves totally, Lord, and that we would follow you no matter the cost, Lord, that we would share.